Suzanne, I got this note. I can read this. Is this correct? I'd like to read it then. Okay. I hadn't read it all the way through, so please bear with me. But Suzanne just brought a note up here and just wanted me to make sure I read this. I thought that's what she asked me to do earlier. To everyone at St. Paul's Church, there are not enough words to say just how appreciative I am for what God and you people have done for me the past 7 weeks since Sandy found her way to the Jersey coast. When I found out just how bad the storm was, I was more than scared. I was horrified, petrified, terrified. Pick any one of them. I felt so alone. My sister, brother, and niece were down in Florida, Georgia. I should have proofread this more, right? I spent the last 7 weeks with Mary and Pete Buckley, who have been so exceptionally nice and kind to me. I prayed every night for God to send me to the right people to help me, because I did not have a clue what to do to handle what happened to me. He sent me Mary and Pete to take me out of my home and into theirs. Pete knew people who could help me. There were also two groups, one led by Colleen Newer, Colleen, who was our congregational care leader, and another by a group from Michigan who took out my damaged drugs, furniture, and anything else that was unsalvageable. Then Colleen and her crew came in and cut out the damage done to the walls, all the mold damage. From what I've heard, they did a great job. Then there's Reverend D and my church family at St. Paul's, my second family. I, along with Sue and Jim, Elise and Walt, Jillian Brick, and the Gilmores, are so blessed to have a family like you guys who have prayed for all of us. I'd be lost without you people. Thanks, special thanks to Sue Lindstrom, who was so gracious to lend me her mother's recliner chair, since all I had was my motor scooter. She also let me use her mother's home to house the things that were saved. Thank you, Sue. They say that when God closes a door, he always opens a window. When he opened that window, St. Paul's came in. I'll never forget your kindness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, and may God be with you always. God is good. Sincerely, Suzanne Smoot. I want to extend also a word of thanks. You'll see in the bulletin this morning, we've been challenging everybody to have a different kind of Christmas. Over $17,000 has come in, along with many gift cards. To that end, last week, some of the leaders met, and just about $14,000 in cash was divvied out to over 11 families. And so because of your faithfulness, we've been able to do that, and we hope to do more if we have more. But again, just wanted to let you know what's been happening there, and how God can help us continue to be a blessing to others in the coming days. This morning I want to talk a little bit about Jesus' wish list. In 1 John we read these words: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possession and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." We've been talking about what Christmas truly means. We've said that it means we can expect God to do a miracle. We should expect miracles around us. And again, this morning Laura Cross came in and shared about a miracle with the prayer shawls from last week, and how they're able to send some of those now, 27 exactly, up to the folks in Newtown, Connecticut. Again, she's got more to share. You want to ask her about it? She can tell you the miracles that are happening in her life and through the ministries here. We talked about giving up on everything and expecting everything to work out perfectly. We talked about living and loving without fear. There's one thing we learn at this time of year is that, at least I learn, hopefully you learn, is that we can learn a lot from our children. Let me illustrate with this story. It was a day after Christmas, a pastor out in a church in San Francisco noticed that the Christ figure from the manger scene on the front lawn of the church was missing. And he was wondering who would take the baby Jesus out of the manger. And he started getting angry about that. And he pulled around the corner and he saw a little boy with a wagon, and in his wagon was the baby Jesus. And he went up to the little boy and a very stern voice said, "Young man, Where did you get that baby Jesus in your wagon? And the boy just very calmly answered and smiled, I got it right here at the church, out of the manger scene. And the pastor said, son, why did you take the baby Jesus? The boy smiled and said, well, last week I prayed to the baby Jesus to get this red wagon, and I said, if I got a red wagon, I'd take him for a ride in it. This is a time of year when we think about Jesus. Our culture, it seems at times, seems to focus our attention more on Santa. And I don't have anything against Santa, but I do have a major problem with what Santa has come to represent in our culture. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not the money itself is evil, but the love of money is what causes problems. So I don't think Santa's the issue. It's the love that we have for material things that Santa has come to represent for so many that becomes the issue. Now, Jesus himself talked a lot about money and the love of things because he knew that greed and wealth were two major obstacles to becoming the people that God created us to be. In the Sermon on the Mount, he issued that warning. No one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other one, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wasn't any story there? Wasn't any parable there? He just kind of talked very straightly to us. This God who made us and created us. We begin to understand that every single one of us worships something, but we were created to worship just one. Our Advent theme has been, Christmas is not your birthday. Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And I remember when I was a child, I could hardly wait for that magical moment when my parents would say, what do you want for your birthday? Make up a list. Write things down. Give us a list of what you want for your birthday. So maybe the best way that we could prepare to celebrate Jesus' birthday is to ask Jesus, or to think about, Jesus, what do you want for your birthday? What's on Jesus' wish list? The other day, while we were driving down the mall in Tom's River to get a picture with Santa, I asked Abigail that. I asked Abigail, what do you think Jesus wants for his birthday? So I'm going to ask us to do something a little different today. I want all of you, for the next moment or two, to think about that and to share with the person or a couple persons next to you, what do you think Jesus wants for his birthday? Do that right now. Would you do that? What does Jesus want for his birthday? I know you spend much more time talking to your children about this. The question today is, how much time do we spend reflecting and thinking about what would Jesus want for his birthday? What's somebody, tell me one thing you heard or somebody say, or you said. What does Jesus want for his birthday? Peace in the world? More people to come to know him? People to follow his commandments? Loving one another? Godly parents? Everyone. I'd asked Abigail, here's some of her answers. She said, our thankfulness, our love. She said, a bouquet of roses. And we kind of asked her, like, well, what do you mean by a bouquet of flowers, bouquet of roses? And again, that we would stop and kind of smell the roses, that we'd be grateful for the things that God has given us. Fortunately, Jesus has
a wish list prepared for us. And we've heard this before. I put it in your
notes this morning, if you have your notes there in front of you. He wants us to feed the hungry, to give something to drink to those who are thirsty, to provide shelter to everyone, clothing for everyone, to care for those that are sick, to visit those who are in trouble. Those things are mentioned in Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 25. When have we seen you like this? When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it, he said, unto me. But the list that Jesus gives there is not original with Jesus. It actually is original with God. Way back in Isaiah, we read these words, and I'll quote from the message. I'll tell you what it really means to worship the Lord. Remove the chains of prisoners who are chained unjustly. Free those who are abused. Share your food with everyone who is hungry. Share your home with the poor and the homeless. Give clothes to those in need. Don't turn away your relatives. Those are things that Jesus wants for his birthday. Now the question is, are those the things that Santa's going to bring on Jesus' birthday? Is the expectation that someone else is going to bring these gifts? No, we, you and I, are the ones who are the bearers and the ones responsible and have the opportunity to share these gifts and to bring these gifts for Jesus' birthday. Again, we've been looking in a book by Michael Slaughter, Christmas is Not Your Birthday. He says this, the resources of heaven do not fall from the sky. They're released through God's people. God creates miracles through the resources that you and I hold in our hands. Moses' staff, David's 5 smooth stones, the widow's oil, 6 water jars at a wedding reception, another widow's 2 small coins, and a boy's lunch comprising 5 pieces of bread and 2 small fish. These are the resources that miracles are made of. You and I are the ones that can give food for someone to eat. And we think, but you know, the little boy, the disciples even thinking to themselves, but there's only 5 loaves and 2 fish. But we look at all the problems around us and we look at our own struggles and we wonder. And we ask, you know, Jesus, you don't understand. Can we afford to do everything that we know we're already committed to and also do what you're asking us to do? But Jesus, we're struggling, even as a church, to pay all of our resources, all of our bills this year, all of our commitments. Mick, if you cue up that video, I found a really cute video about those excuses that we make in our lives. And I want you to watch this at this time.
But it's gigantic, if I'm going to be blunt about it. And you know what? The funny thing is, I got several big butts. And before you discard me or wince at the disgusting notion of that, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that possibly you have at least one big butt as well. Yeah, you like that? Hurts a little, huh? Let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something, okay? Everybody we know has a big butt. And more often than not, it's the thing that actually gets in the way of us living a consistent life for Jesus. Yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to expound a little bit, okay? See if you can recognize some of these butts. But I have to work more. But my favorite TV show is off. But my kids have practice. But I got to tweak something. But it's such a beautiful day. But I'm just not in the mood. But I deserve a break today. You see, everything kind of interferes with my life of just living an authentic life for God, okay? And more often than not, it always has something to do with some sort of butt, okay? Even the littlest butt can distract me. It really can. The littlest butt can make me think, well, I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to think about it today. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to read the Bible, blah, blah, blah. Whatever God asks me to do, I seem to have a butt for it and get away, okay? And the most horrendously big butt of all time is the butt that gets in the way of me just hanging out with God and reading His Word. It's true. Think about it. All the times you're about to open that, and all of a sudden a big giant butt gets in the way. A butt. Much like one of these. But I got a farm bill, but I'm tired, but the game's over, but I read last Tuesday, but I gotta check Facebook, but I don't like Leviticus, but it's too hot in here, but I just don't like books, but I don't understand it, but it's boring. But what does that have to do with me in the 21st century? Those are some ugly butts, people. Just call them what they are. Ugly. Ugly butts. Okay? And there's a lot more to them, sad but true. Here's a list, although not exhaustive, of some of the most popular butts known to mankind. But I don't have enough money yet. But others will think that I'm a nerd if I carry the Bible. But they won't like me if I talk about Jesus. But I don't know if God will do what I ask. But I just can't get motivated. But I'm afraid. But I don't have all the answers. But the small group was the same night as Monday Night Football. But can I just let my life speak for itself? But I'm not happy. That's not my gift. That's the pastor's job. But I don't know how to pray. But I can't believe that. But I don't know where to start. But everybody else is having fun. Butts abound, friend. But. Here a butt, there a butt. Everywhere, a butt. Okay? And the most overused butt of all time, but I just don't have enough time. Really? Oh, come on. We have a lot of butts. God has given us a real simple word. Okay? If we learn it, and we share it, and we teach it, and we live by it, then see, God gets glorified, people benefit, and then we get blessed. That's why we do what we do. That's the why behind the butt. Okay? And ultimately, that's the whole point I'm trying to make here, my fellow butt lovers, is if your butt is bigger than your why, then your butt's too big. Okay, it's time to, metaphorically speaking, snap into a Slim Jim. Okay, let's slap on some spiritual shape-ups and hit the road a little bit so we can just manage the butts a little bit. That's all we're trying to do. That's what we're talking about. Let's minimize the excuses. Let's shrink the butts. Shrink the butts. Say it with me. Shrink the butts. That's what we need to do. And you and I can do that together. We can conquer this. You and I can do it if we start today, okay? I know we can. Let's just do it. No ifs, ands, or... Yeah. I think you get it.
But. It's time to commit to losing our big butts. I mean, after all, Jesus doesn't save us just to get us into heaven, but to get heaven into us. Jesus saves us for the purpose of channeling the resources of heaven onto earth. Yes, Jesus needs the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that are in your hand, no matter how futile your financial situation may be. The resources that God uses to multiply miracles to meet people's needs come out of your hands and out of my hands. When we obediently give, release what's in our hands, Jesus blesses it, He multiplies it, and then He gives it back for the purpose of distribution. That's what we can call kind of Kingdom Economics 101. Peter was the rock that Jesus built His church upon, but John is the one that Jesus loved. And after experiencing the love of Jesus close up and personal, John wrote those words that I said earlier from 1 John chapter 3. Here's what it says in the message. We know what love is because Jesus gave His life for us. That's why we must give our lives for each other. If we have all we need, not what we want, we need, and see one of our own people in need, which, by the way, is not just people sitting next to you, people in the body of Christ, but all people, we must have pity on that person, or else we cannot say we love God. And then John had a way of relating, and he'd say, children, those of childlike faith, you show love for others by truly helping them, not merely talking about it. Friends, we are made to be in a relationship with God and will never find true joy and peace in the gods of this world. In Isaiah, after providing that wish list, God says, then your light. Once we do those things, then your light will shine like the dawning sun, and you will quickly be healed. Your honesty will protect you as you advance, and the glory of the Lord will defend you from behind. When you beg the Lord for help, He will answer, here I am. Friends, that's God's promise to those who love others as God loves them. God will be with us in and through every situation. After delivering the same wish list in Matthew, Jesus, again, God in human form, takes the promise to the next level. What does Jesus say? After He says, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me, He says this, come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. So we have the reality that when we're being faithful, when we're doing
the things that we're supposed to be doing, that God has directed us to do, that God has commanded us to do, not just thinking about it, but when we're doing it, we know that God's presence will be with us today, and we know that there is a place prepared for us in eternity. That is the blessing that God wants to give everyone. That God is with us, and that we know where we're going. As we prepare for Jesus' birthday party in just a few days from now, I put some questions, some other things to think about in your program today, but I want us to think about these few questions. Are there people on your Christmas shopping list who are hard to shop for? What would happen if you put as much time and energy into Jesus' wish list each Christmas as you put into theirs? Question 2. What big buts are keeping you from giving sacrificially? What excuses do you need to overcome to truly honor Jesus with your financial resources? And 3. Get creative. What new traditions, family practices, could you start this year to make every Christmas a more authentic celebration of Jesus? The reality is, hundreds of thousands of people, even millions of people, are invited and will be celebrating Jesus' birthday in a couple days. What gift do we give that is fitting for a king? My hope and my prayer is that we would continue to be the hope for other people's lives. We continue to encourage them by how we live. And that even in giving on Christmas's birthday, it wouldn't just be his birthday that we recognize these things, but we recognize every day of our lives we might be a blessing to someone else. Amen? Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we know your truth. We know your word. And we acknowledge today, God, that there are times when there's a disconnect between what we know and what we do. What we understand to be true and how we live out that truth. Help us, God, today to live sacrificially for you. Help us, God, today to know and to remember and to understand all the implications of the fact that it's not our birthday we celebrate, but it's the birthday of Jesus. May we continue, God, to share our resources with one another. May it not only be a day that we give, but a lifestyle that is changed for your kingdom's sake. I thank you, Lord, for the faithful people here at St. Paul's. I thank you, God, for the way that we can share and help one another out of need. Continue, God, to instill in us a heart that loves others. Keep the world's mindset and mold, God, away from us, but may your Spirit continue to direct us and guide us in these days to truly be your people. We ask all this in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.